This conference is being recorded.
All right, guys, here we are. We're recording Zach Evanesh with my and my brother from another mother, Elliot Halls. I am excited. We're bringing you this free teleseminar from hybridbodybuilding.com. And for those of you who signed up, either myself or Elliot told you about it. And if you haven't gone to hybridbodybuilding.com, that's where you want to check out the blog and the blog videos that Elliot's putting up. And we're going to be strictly talking about the hybrid muscle building, hybrid bodybuilding methods that Elliot is utilizing. He's been using it on himself. He's been testing on the guys that he's training with. I'm going to post pictures on the blog tomorrow of how he's looking, and it's pretty badass. So it's always good to have Elliot on your side and against you, because you're looking pretty kick-ass. So let's jump in, brother. First, I want to thank you, of course, for taking time away from your family to do this. And let's talk about what kind of prompted you and motivated you get into this style of training, and really what is hybrid bodybuilding and hybrid muscle building.
Well, the first thing first, let me thank you, Zach. And as far as taking time away, I consider you a part of the family, bro. You know, you always talk about the tribe. Definitely the same tribe. We're speaking the same language, doing the same thing, and we're serving the same people. So it's just like I'm talking to my brother. We're good.
Nice.
The other thing is, after doing strongman training for quite, you know, dude, I constantly remind you how much of an impact you've had on my career at this point, or really my business at this point. But when I started learning about what you were doing with underground training, and you were training with no rules, and you were doing stuff with tires and sandbags, I started experimenting with myself. Through your forum, I came across a guy named Tom Mitchell, started doing strongman training myself, got obsessed with it, and then became a professional strongman after about 2 years of starting. And over the course of that time, I literally went from about 198 pounds to my heaviest was over 250 pounds. And a lot of it was muscle, a heck of a lot of it was muscle, it was strength. And, I mean, that was what was necessary in order for me to excel in my sport. But I was definitely getting very chubby. And after achieving my pro status, I had a talk with my buddy Mike Westerdahl, who comes out of my gym a lot. He owns a website called criticalbench.com, and he had sort of the same situation going on as a power lifter. And he and I, both being ex-football players and stuff, we were like, look, dude, we got to get back into that type of athletic shape that we once had prior to going into strength sports. We don't want to lose our strength. That was the biggest thing. He wanted to continue increasing his bench press and squat for powerlifting, and I wanted to continue to get stronger for strongman, but we had to get rid of this body fat. So both of us being bigger dudes – can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, bro.
Sorry, my phone kind of goes out. Both of us being bigger dudes, both of us involved in strength sports, both of us hating cardio, we definitely couldn't see ourselves like skipping rope for hours or jogging or doing anything that was, you know, typical fat loss workouts. I mean, just the idea of it makes me want to vomit. I couldn't even consider it, but there was no way that just using max effort and bodybuilding type workouts by itself was going to help us. So we decided to commit to adding these extra workouts to our strength building programs. And it was totally a combination of what Charles Staley calls escalating density. We were doing like a little bit of that. We came across this guy named Ori Hofmeckler, and he has something called controlled fatigue training. That, along with the way we were manipulating the variables of our strength training programs, allowed us to continue to get stronger. We got bigger, and the body fat started coming down. And a lot of these ideas aren't brand new. I was speaking with you earlier yesterday. We were talking about Marty Gallagher's book, The Purposeful Primitive. It's funny, in that book, he basically gives what we were doing and what we knew would work a name, and he starts like giving a little bit of pseudoscience behind it. And he refers to these type 3 muscle fibers and super hybrid muscle fibers. And we just, like, totally fell in love with the idea and just we're all over it. So we just started documenting our results and talking about it.
it's I'm coming from the same background as you. We were both pretty much bodybuilders, and we were strong as bodybuilders. And then we kind of went totally the opposite way and went strongman. But now we're realizing that you've got to have that mix of strongman and I guess we call it like old school bodybuilding and bringing in that athleticism. And we're going to start really detailing what some of these workouts might look like and the changes that go through. But I cranked one today. Basically, I supersetted trap bar deadlifts with Zercher squats, which is something that, you know, if somebody's like, hey, man, that's not the way you want to organize a workout. But I was basically doing the trap bar deadlift is kind of like a pulling movement, and then the Zercher squat allowed me to get real deep. And what it does is it really pushes as far as muscle building. It really supports muscle growth. And conditioning-wise, I'm just not a big fan of being strong but feeling out of shape. Coming from a wrestling background, that's like always on the forefront of my mind is push the pace, keep the intensity. And like you, I wanted to get back into a leaner condition, and now I'm starting to – I think this training, man, not only is it obviously crazy effective, but it is fun. And guys like Charles Staley – Ori have also been very influential to me, and Marty, of course, his book, Purposeful Primitive, that's one of the most influential books that I've come across. So Charles with all his decades in training, Marty with all his decades of training experience, Ori coming from a special forces background in the Israeli Army, I mean, and then you and I, decades in training. We've been really in the trenches since we were middle school. So we're talking of probably between everybody, this information is huge. Tell me how you started getting away from just purely going for strength, and what was kind of like the first or maybe that major change you started making to your training program moving towards the hybrid muscle building type workout?
Well, prior to adding these hybrid conditioning portions to the program, I had been following a typical concurrent training program, which even for me at the time was pretty brand new. You know, I was familiar with linear periodization. Basically, you work one strength quality at a time over the course of, say, 6 weeks, and then you move on to a different strength quality. A typical periodization like that would be, you know, we'll do bodybuilding for 6 weeks, and then we'll do strength building for 6 weeks, and we'll follow that up with, like, sports-specific training. And that's you call that linear periodization. Concurrent periodization is basically what you described earlier with adding strength building, bodybuilding, and conditioning within the same microcycle or within the same week. So we're hitting multiple strength and athleticism qualities at the same time. So that was, even at the time, for me, that was like something pretty cool, and I had been messing around with it. And this just took it one step further. The way it actually ended up looking was after my turning pro strongman, I had to take a break from busting my body up with the stones and the logs and stuff. I mean, I just needed a break. So what we did was we had a copy of Charles Staley's Escalating Density Program, and that was the first workout we decided to do. And it was I could give you a description of that very first program that we went through. I think we did kettlebells. If you're not familiar, let me describe really quickly. If you're not familiar with escalating density, basically you take two opposing exercises and you do them back to back, and you'll do you choose a weight that's like maybe 70% of your one rep max, something that you could probably do like 10 or 15 reps with, and but you only do 5 repetitions with one. So let's say one is a bench press followed by a chin up. So you'll do 5 bench presses with like 185, and then you'll do 5 chin-ups. And then you go back to the bench press, you do 5 bench presses, 5 chin-ups, 5 bench presses, 5 chin-ups, 5. And you keep going back and forth for a period of time. So let's say you mark off like 20 minutes. You're going to go back and forth without stopping. You go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, doing fives. I don't know, somebody hit a button. doing fives. But there's gonna get you're gonna get to a point where you know at first it's gonna feel kind of easy. You're gonna get to a point though where you're like, God damn, I can't do another set of five. So you do fours. You go back and forth with the fours. You go back and forth with threes. And at the end of the workout, you tally up your volume. So your volume is basically how many sets you did during that time. Now the cool part about that this workout is that from week to week, you want to beat that record. So let's say you did a total of 260 repetitions during that 20-minute period. You come back the following week, you had better get like 275.
But what are you writing it down after every set? You just go and give yourself the reps?
Yeah. Well, basically there's a chart that you set up, and you would. We have big chalkboards at my gym.
Yep.
What do you call, like dry erase boards. So we'll just go over to dry erase board, write like bench for like a B for bench press and a C for chin up.
Yep.
Side by side, put a line down the middle of them, and for each set of fives that we do, we put a five of five. A five,
gotcha.
A five, a five, a five. We go to fours, we start writing 4-4, 4-4, 4-4, 4-4, 3-3. And then at the end, we just add up the numbers. You know, that's escalating density.
I love that thing, dude. It busts you up there.
It rocks. It destroys you. Because you're doing a number of things, but namely what we were aiming for was a conditioning program, something that was going to get our heart rate up, something that was going to just like have us keeling over, sucking wind. We wanted to have that feeling, but at the same time, we wanted a pump in our muscles. We wanted our muscles to feel full of blood. We wanted to feel like we were bodybuilding. And this is the response that we got with this. So we were just like, man, we're taking two athleticism or strength qualities and combining them with this workout. Let's see if we can mess around with a few others. And we just took it from there and just started getting silly with it.
Did you start... You test drove it on yourself, and I know you were actually using it on your athletes, the EDT. I remember you were, like, telling me, like, crazy-ass workouts that you were doing. you started using it with your athletes, or you were hesitant? How'd you go about using it with the athletes you worked with?
We would always, staying with the concurrent periodization idea, we always start with, like, a max effort exercise. I always want to see... I don't know if it's always the right thing, but in my mind, I feel like you need to be getting stronger in a max effort, type of whatever. Anyway, you
right.
need to be able to press more weight. You need to move more weight from week to week or from month to month, and then, you know, that's the way we gauge our progress. But then after we do that, we get crazy. We do all types of different things. That's when we'll throw in like strongman conditioning circuits. And for me, it's like training is like always a challenge, you know, and I make my athletes feel the same way. It's like if this workout is the same as it was last workout, it's a freaking waste. We wasted our time. Something has to be better. We've got to escalate something. So either the rest periods have gotten smaller, while maintaining the same weight, the weight's got to go up. You got to do more sets. You got to do more reps. Whatever it is, we want to win. Every workout's got to be a winner. Did we win here? Did we win there? So that was that's a different form of, but the same idea. Of escalating, not necessarily density, but sometimes intensity or frequency, it's an escalating type program, just getting better every time you train.
We're kind of on the same thing. The concurrent is basically we're working strength, power, athleticism, muscle building in one workout, where the conjugate is one workout's focused on strength, another workout focused on power. but the way you and I are doing it is we mix them all into one workout, and that's also, of course, we're not training specifically for powerlifting. And what I did, like what you're talking about, is I basically today my lower body workout was the supersetting of the trap bar deadlifting and the Zercher squats for sets of five, and then I finished with a D-ball, that's a sand-filled medicine ball, 60-pound D-ball for three rounds. I did shouldering to six reps each side, and then I did squats for six, and then I did lunges for six each side. Now, I'm a big pussy, so I had my athletes do it even more. I was just focusing on lower body, but even
right.
on today, I had my athletes actually, they did their full body workout, and rather than do the sled training, which I normally do at the end, which is specifically hitting the legs, they did they either used a sandbag or a D-ball, but they did six reps shouldering, six reps clean and press, my stronger guys, rather than a clean and press, they did a clean and a press throw. So they actually threw the D-ball in the air, caught it, you know, and absorbed it on the way down. Every rep had to touch the ground. Then they did their squats, lunges. So those, I added in the six clean and presses to them, but it's just sometimes I say to myself, I'm like, man, why do I sometimes get away from this athletic type training that still gets them strong as hell? We still start with that strength move, and you know,
right,
it reminds me that sometimes you gotta do some of that crazy shit. And I think that's what, like, this hybrid muscle building really, it's fun, it packs on muscle and gets you strong as hell, and those are the two best things in life.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think I put an emphasis on that word fun. Now, I'm not the type to say that training should be like entertaining, or should be something where, you know, everyone should have a great time. You know, you see on TV, people are training and they got a big smile on their face and it looks like they're barely doing anything. But training needs to be something that keeps your attention, can keep you focused. And if you're what I would call a really fast nervous system, someone who adapts quickly to exercise programs and can learn things very quickly, you're going to get bored with the same type of training program over and over again.
True.
And when you're using a hybrid type training program, because you're training so many different strength qualities, you're challenging the nervous system, you're challenging the muscular system, you're just making it so much more entertaining. It's fun, you know, and that's what's really cool about it. And you can use so many different tools. I think one of the things that people are, we're getting a lot of comments on our blog or underneath the videos that I put, and we've got almost 1,000 there. One of the biggest objections is this all strongman training? I see a lot of sandbags and I see a lot of, tires and stuff. No, it has nothing to do with that whatsoever. I just happen to have a lot of footage of that stuff because I like using those tools. But that's
right,
what they are. They're just tools. The real essence of this program, there are two things that I want to mention. One being the manipulation of your variables. You have to understand what you're doing with your reps and sets, your rest intervals, and your frequency and your intensity. And if you can manipulate those handful of variables, you can make any exercise destroy you. You can make any exercise with anything. I don't care if you want to use a pec deck machine at the gym. There's definitely ways that we can have that give you different responses based on the intensity, based on the reps, based on the sets. So hybrid training and hybrid muscle building is a dynamic program because you're constantly manipulating variables to meet certain goals, and you can do that with any tool. The other thing that I don't think I make clear enough, and I haven't made clear enough in the videos thus far, is that you've got to train like your life depends on it. This isn't, if you're still comfortable while you're doing these workouts, if it feels like, yeah, you know, this feels pretty good, you're not getting it. It's not happening. It has to feel like there's a term that I love that you came up with. I don't want to say that you came up with it, but you brought it to the forefront of my mind, which was no rules training. And I think of that all the time because it's like you got to feel like you're breaking some fucking rules right now when you're going through these sets. Like, it shouldn't feel right. And if it feels good and it feels right, you're not challenging yourself enough and you're not breaking any barriers, so you will be exactly the same. The change, to get that physical change in your chemical composition and the way your body looks and feels, you've got to push beyond what is typical and normal for yourself, and you got to get uncomfortable.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. The training has to take you into a whole nother realm. Otherwise, you're spinning wheels. You're wasting time. But what I don't want to do is I get the same question a lot, like, oh, if I train, Zach, like I'm training at a regular gym, do I have to use tires? Some of my best workouts come when I just hit barbell, dumbbell, and body weight. So I want to talk about that, and I also want to, let's back up if we can and talk about, let's say we get a newbie who's kind of crossing over into the hybrid muscle building. And for anybody who came on late, we're bringing the call to you from hybridbodybuilding.com, where Elliot's hooking you guys up with free killer videos. You definitely want to check it out. People are bugging out over it, and Elliot's really blown me away with the results he's gotten from this. But let's say we get somebody who's training at the typical gym doing, you know, let's say his typical workout, he's doing things like the pec deck, the incline Smith machine, or he's leg extension and leg press. how would we start a guy off on some hybrid bodybuilding workouts? What might be some sort of introductory movements we'd want to get him or her going with?
All right. I hear two different questions. So
I'm the master of asking more than one question. Let's talk about somebody new. Let's say he or she is doing the typical gym workout, you know, probably the stuff that you're seeing in a lot of magazines, a lot of machine-based workouts. How would we cross them over into the world of hybrid muscle building? How would we start them? What would some introductory workouts or introductory movements look like for somebody like that?
Well, what's really cool about newbies is that you can totally – I tend to think that it's even easier to train them with hybrid training because they're so brand new and fresh and everything, that even having them do like a set of bodyweight squats, they're sucking wind. It's crazy. So it's like, man, their legs are wobbling, so it's like you know you're training the nervous system. The freaking nervous system doesn't even know what to do. It's the funniest thing when you see someone who's brand new. I have a new kid just started last week, baseball player, and we had him doing step-ups, and I could literally see the muscles quivering in his leg, and he's just doing bodyweight step-ups, and he looks like a strong kid. He walks in here, and you're like, yeah, this kid's pretty athletic. He's doing bodyweight step-ups, and I could see quivering and shaking and jumping in his leg, and it's a pretty cool thing because it almost looks like, you know, when I live in Tampa right now, the name of the hockey team is the Lightning because we have so much goddamn lightning here. But if you look up in the sky when there's a thunderstorm, a lightning storm, up in the clouds, you just see just like shocks of lightning going off in the clouds, and that's basically electric energy just being shuttled around inside a mass. That's basically what's happening inside that kid's muscle that's never experienced this type of challenge before. It's just the nervous system, which is electricity, is just firing off just different fibers all throughout that muscle trying to figure out what to do. So he's training the nervous system a great deal. And that is the foundation for strength. So not only is he training a nervous system, he's training strength, so his muscle is going to grow. And because he's in such poor, you know, quote-unquote condition, he's sucking wind. It's like, you know, you or I do like a set of 10 step-ups with our body weight. It's like, what? Like, what's the big deal? Are we warming up or stretching or what's going on here? He's sucking wind. His nervous system is firing off like a madman, and he's getting stronger. So I consider that, and, you know, before you got on the call, I was alluding to the fact that, you know, we're using a lot of terms like type 3 muscle fibers and hybrid muscle training, and these are cool things, and, you know, when I started reading The Purposeful Primitive and looking into Ari Hofmeckler's stuff, I was just intrigued by it. I thought it was a pretty intriguing thing for people to grasp onto and even entertain people, but the fact of the matter is that it's nothing new. Essentially, it means train hard, challenge yourself, and push the limits for multiple qualities. So for a brand new kid, like what I know you do is you start out with like a body weight circuit type workout, and you have them take short rest intervals, and they're doing high repetitions, but even so, they're challenging multiple qualities at the same time. So that, in my opinion, is a incredible baseline program for someone starting out, and we could call that hybrid depending on how we manipulate the rep sets and rest intervals. So you know, a body weight circuit like chin-ups, push-ups, squats, lunges, step-ups, these are all perfect things. Sit-ups, these are all perfect things to add to that program. Now, if this is a guy that, just to address what you were describing before, is somebody using a leg press machine and pec deck and stuff like that, hey, if that's what you're into, that's what you want to use, that's fine. That's going to work your muscles. There's no two ways about it. Your muscles are going to grow. I don't prefer those type of exercises over body weight and you know, free weight type exercises. But I'm not saying that it's wrong. But the way you're going to make that, the way you can play with those things is to, like, for example, my uncle's a bodybuilder, and he's one of the first guys to introduce me to the idea that you can get stronger while you're burning fat. You know, in fact, when I had to cut weight for one of my strongman shows, I was like, Uncle Elroy, what do I do? I got to cut like 10 pounds, but I don't want to lose any strength. So he started talking to me about cutting back my calories and still getting stronger. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I can't cut my carbs back like that and get stronger. And he just, you know, he tapped himself on the forehead and says, if you you decide you can, you will. And then I said, well, what kind of workouts can I do? And he's like, well, let me tell you what I do. And he's a bodybuilder, so he does a lot of the machine workouts. He's like, well, you know, if I do, I'll do a set of squats, you know, and he'll just do like barbell squats. He's like, I'll get off, I'll take like 315 or 405 and do like 10 or 20 reps. I mean, he's strong as hell, and he's 53 years old. He'll do like 10 reps with 405 deep, getting his ass to the ground. And he's like, right when I feel like I'm about to pass out, I put the barbell back on the rack, and I pass out into the pec deck machine or the bench press machine. So he's like, when I have nothing left, I just lay down on that bench press machine, and I start pressing the crap out of that bench press machine until I have nothing left.
That sounds like
a sick psycho attitude program using straight up bodybuilding stuff at a gym that you can do.
When I was one of the guys that I train, his son, and he was like, "Man, Zach, you should bottle up that energy and sell it." And I said, "Man, I'll tell you what. Like, I've been burning through training partners since I was 14 through high school, college. I mean, one of my training partners is a pro or at the time he was a pro bodybuilder. He still is, still does compete, and basically." What you're talking about, that's like the way we would train. It's like we got to that point where you thought you were done, but you weren't done. You had to eke out like those extra 2 to 3 reps, or you kind of racked the weight, did a little rest pause of 10, 20 seconds, did one more, rested 10, 20 seconds, did one more, really pushing into that kind of unknown zone that most people wouldn't do. And I did. I mean, I got strong as hell. I packed on a lot of muscle, and because of the pace, was so furious, it kept me very lean. And what you're talking about as far as like mindset and somebody just pushing just with body weight training, I always tell the coaches in my gym, I'm like, look, if it gets like crazy here and I'm not here and we were supposed to have 8 guys, but 5 more guys show up to the gym and we got 1,000 square foot, I go put everybody on that baseline program. And the baseline program is walking on your hands, power cleaning a sandbag, doing push-ups. If you're strong enough, you put the chains around your neck, dragging sleds, swinging the sledgehammer. So they're mixing calisthenics with gymnastic-type movements with kind of like animal walks, sledgehammers. And I tell them, I'm like, look, this workout could be for a beginner if we rest a little bit more and don't push the intensity, or it could be for the advanced person where we load up the push-ups. We do plyo push-ups when we start the hand walking. We swing a heavier sledgehammer. We sprint after we drag the sleds, stuff like that. Dude, I've had like, you know, all state athletes roll up and they go through that baseline program and they get rocked. And I think, you know, of course, the big thing that guys like you and I always have is like, I wish I knew about this back when I was competing in football or wrestling. But if I was, if I was hitting, hybrid bodybuilding up in the weight room or in the typical gym, like there's a gym next door to me, I'd ditch the machines, but I would do some wild shit. Like today I had a guy, a wrestler, and what we did is we lined up a bunch of kettlebells, but it easily could have been dumbbells. And he had a 36, 44, 53, and a 62. And the kid weighs 150. And on each arm, he did one snatch, a press, and a clean and press. Then right side, snatch, press, clean and press. Then he just climbed up, and then he climbed down. Rested a minute, did it twice. And we did it with everything. Then I had him climb the rope up and down twice. Then mixed grip pull-ups. Then running the rack one-arm rows, and then he went through that sandbag hybrid complex, and then he did push-ups. I guess we could call it running the rack. He did it with body weight, then with one chain on his back, 2 chains, back to one, back to body weight, and it was just the up-down. And there was no, you know, extra cardio needed because he was basically pulling, pushing, climbing, jumping. I mean, the shit was off the hook, but this kid... I mean, the way his body's transformed, I'll have to put him on my blog. He's, like, shown holding a set of kettlebells. Like, his lats just flare out. I mean, when I look at the way these guys are built, they're built like, you know, the Spartans out of the movie 300. They're built like gladiators. And, I'm just psyched to hear that, like, we're getting this out to the public. And for anybody who jumped on the call late, We're talking about hybridbodybuilding.com, where Elliot's hooking people up. Elliot and Mike West are all hooking peeps up with some killer videos, and he's going to be pumping out a series of videos where you guys could start utilizing these methods, whether you train at the regular gym, whether you train in your basement, garage, backyard, local YMCA, doesn't matter. But if you follow these methods, you're going to develop strength, power, athleticism, and fat burning and muscle gaining all at once. And like you were saying, Marty Gallagher was kind of calling it like the type 3 super muscle.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool. It's basically saying you're not going to be all show and no go. You're gonna look the part, but you're also going to be a badass.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
People are making is that there's no such thing as a type 3 muscle. And I think I explained this pretty well in a video that went out today. But essentially what's happening is you're taking a type 2 muscle fiber. For those of you who don't know on the call, but I'm pretty sure everybody does, it's the more explosive of the two muscle fibers. You got your type 1 that's like kind of like our oxidative. It's fueled by the oxidative system. You use it for like jogging, and they're like postural muscles. They help hold you up while you're standing. They're useful for long periods of exercise or static holding. Your type 2 is like, you know, it's pretty explosive. You're using them in your glutes when you're jumping or when you're pressing a lot of weight or you're squatting a lot of weight. They're only good for a couple seconds. And what he describes in the book is that if you train that type 2 muscle fiber in a continuous fashion, basically just doing lots and lots and lots of heavy stuff with short rest intervals, which is completely a rule breaker. Talk about breaking rules. It's like, are you kidding me? So you want us to do weight training, but a lot of weight training, where basically it's just a known rule that the higher your intensity, the lower your volume. He's saying, look, high intensity, high volume at the same time. What you then do is you take that type 2 muscle fiber and infuse it with greater mitochondria, and mitochondria are like just they're like powerhouses that fuel the muscle. So essentially, you're enhancing. And long story short, you're enhancing your type 2 muscle fibers and just kind of changing its potential, allowing it to have more blood flow, allowing it to utilize more oxygen, allowing it to bring more nutrition to the muscle. So then it's just a more effective all around muscle, and it can produce both qualities, endurance and strength.
It's like you said, if we go back to it, it's just such a varied way of training. It's extremely fun. It's challenging. And like, we're both that believer in train the mind, train the body. And when I was, when I first opened my gym about 2.5 years ago, I'm right next to a bodybuilding gym. When there was guys that were training in that bodybuilding gym when I was like 14 years old, and I still remember to this day, like, dudes would like read the newspaper in between their sets of the bench press. A lot of those guys are still there, and I was like, damn, they're still doing the same stuff. They walk in and out of that gym, they look the same, and it's like, it's not, you know, they're not wasting their life, but they've wasted, you know, 1 to 2 decades of doing the same shit over and over and not. There's no results. To me, that freaks me out, because I'm always after getting results for myself. For some people, they might like that, but I have a funny feeling that the people on the phone call, on the phone right now, are the people that are really looking for that edge, for something different. But let's go. A question that's asked very frequently, and I think people complicate this probably more than they do their training, is they want to know about, you know, what kind of nutrition changes should they make. And the easiest way I try to explain to people, I do a couple things. I say, one, think like a caveman. Caveman would hunt. He'd have meats, you know, animal meats and fish, grown from the earth, grains, lots of fruits, nuts, berries, yams, potatoes. So a caveman would not eat stuff that's in a box or in a wrapper. Everything, you know, would be something that was from the earth, either grown or roaming on the earth. So that's number one. Number two, I say, it's just common sense. If there's two plates in front of you, I guarantee that you could determine which one is healthier for you. So it's common sense and discipline. But what things would you tell people to do that would help them kind of morph their body to start increasing some of that lean muscle mass and improve the, I guess, the fat-burning furnace, so to speak?
All right, remind me to come back to that, with regard to calories and stuff, because I want to capitalize upon what you just said with regard to quote-unquote health foods. I think it's the most retarded thing in the world that you have to be sold health foods. Why does a freaking box of cereal have to tell you that it's good for your heart? Why does it have to have the little label on it that says that the USDA recommends this for healthy brains and shit like that? It's because it goes against your intuition. If you have to be sold that something's good for you, then it's not good for you. It doesn't. You don't see any commercials for apples. You don't see anybody trying to convince you that steak is a good choice. Anytime there's something that's packaged in these green packages and they're in these ridiculous health food stores where they're just loaded to the gills with garbage that they have to convince you to buy because it's good for you. I love these freaking commercials of like the yogurt that's like all of a sudden this yogurt is going to make your digestive system better. It's like, why do I need to be told that? It's like, it makes absolutely no sense if my intuition can guide me to eat properly, which we all can. It absolutely does. Nobody has to sell you on the idea that water is good for you.
Right.
Then why do I need to be convinced? And it's because it's garbage. It goes against your intuition. It goes against nature. Anything that wasn't here 10,000 years ago, anything that doesn't come out of the earth, anything that doesn't have eyes, that's another one that I like to describe as a health food or a protein type food. Just things that have had eyes, you know, can they or came from something with eyes, like eggs. That was my mini rant on quote unquote health food.
It's true. I think more than likely the people on the call they understand that it's just going to be a matter of people doing it. You know, I don't want to turn this into preaching, but let's talk about, you've leaned up a lot. So maybe talk about some of the personal changes you made and how you ate. What were you doing before, and what changes did you start making?
All right. I got to be completely honest here with you folks. The greatest result with regard to transformation that I had became when I started taking a look at my calories, how much I was eating. I did not want to face that fact because I like food. I just want to eat tons of it. I eat healthy food, but I just want to pound it. And when you train this way, you're just insatiable. You want to eat tons and tons. I mean, I would eat 2 cups of brown rice at a sitting. I could eat hamburger after hamburger. I could just eat tons and tons of food. And it's like, I don't care how much type 3 muscle fiber hybrid training you're doing, if you eat that many calories, your body's not going to transform. You'll be in good shape, and you know, I continue to get stronger, but to get that body fat off, I finally gave in and said, all right, I got to cut my calories back. How do I do it in such a fashion that I don't lose my strength? And again, I went to my uncle with regard to that because he's a bodybuilder, he's a psycho trainer, and he believes in type 3 muscle fiber training, so and hybrid muscles. So I said, Uncle Elroy, what do I got to do? I don't want to lose an ounce of strength, but I can't eat this many calories. And it all came down to carb rotation. Now, I don't talk much about this in the program, but I'm letting you guys know about it because, you know, you're here on the inner circle, and I want to give you kind of the secrets behind what's actually going on. I literally like come home, and this, I figured, look, I break enough rules listening to Zach. Why don't I break a couple more? And I come home, like, you know, sometimes get home from the gym at like 7, 8 o'clock at night after I shower, it's like dinner time. And I'll eat 2 cups of rice and then go to bed. Like
breaking all kinds of crazy rules, brother.
Oh man. Yeah. Tons of rules on breaking this. So I'd eat 170 grams of carbs and then just go to bed. I was like, all right, well, that shit was showing up around my neck and waist. So I was like, all right, I got to cut this back. Essentially, what I had to do was I did a full detox with regard to any food that would spike my insulin. So for about 2 weeks, and people have, this is also referred to as a metabolic diet. It's a modified version of it, but this is how my uncle described it to me. Basically, I ate nothing but egg whites and turkey for 2 weeks and had like 3 gallons of water. After that, and he basically called this is your detox, he told me. I was like, fuck, all right. I did that. It was tough at first couple of days were tough, and then eventually it was like, all right, it sort of got normal, and I was used to taking in about 4 ounces of turkey or 4 egg whites every 2 hours. So I was eating really frequently, but it was just like a little bit of protein every few hours, and I was just, you know, it started getting sickening. But at that point, then he said, all right, now you've got to decide where you're going to need your carbs to fuel your workout. So I started adding to that. I would have oatmeal on the mornings that I knew I was going to train, and it was incredible. When you control your carbohydrates like this, and I'm just telling you my experience. Some of you guys might already know this stuff, so you're probably laughing at me like, Elliot, you should know better. But I didn't. When you control your carbohydrates like that, and then you put it back in strategically, it's like magic. It's incredible. Like all of a sudden, I ate that bowl of oatmeal, and my entire body turned hot. I just got really, really hot, and my muscles filled up. Like, it just, all of a sudden, like, somebody put a, like, stuck something in me and blew up all my muscles just, like, with air. And it was like, oh, my God, all of a sudden, I was full of glycogen. My blood volume went up. I went and trained that day. It was one of the most incredible training sessions I ever had. I wanted to just keep going because my body was just so responsive to the carbohydrates. And then I would let it drain itself out again. So, you know, if I didn't train the next day or if I did like a resistance cardio workout, as we described earlier, I would keep the carbohydrates out of that day. I wouldn't do it. And then the next day I needed to do like a max effort exercise, or if I was training for strongman, it was like, all right, throw the carbs back in. And then my muscles would swell up. I'd beat the crap out of it, and then I'd drain it again. So you call that carb rotation. That had a huge impact on my being able to cut the fat quickly.
Dude, I want to talk to you about two things, and this is some old school shit that I don't know if anybody heard of me, but when I was bodybuilding, I was at a gym, very hardcore, called Diamond Gym. Like, this would, you and I would still dig this gym. Just tons of free weights. Dumbbells were like 180 and 210. I used to see a dude dumbbell benching the 180s, no shit. Anybody who's anybody, like, the one rule of thumb that everybody understood there, even if they didn't know how to lift, was they all knew to go heavy and go hard. Now, when I was bodybuilding there, my training partner, he wasn't a pro yet, but he had this sick metabolism that basically if he ate the way you ate in about 2 weeks, his glutes were ripped. And I'm talking about a jacked dude, fucking ripped. Like, if he turned around like and squeezed his shoulder blades, you saw the Christmas tree. It was crazy. So for you, you were talking about how you had to lean out and you were having like double carb or triple carb intake at night. This guy, because he was burning so fast, and it's a rare occurrence that somebody's so ripped. But for anybody who's on the call who is trying to gain lean muscle and who might have like a crazy-ass metabolism, that's what this dude was told to do. His last two meals at night, he was told to double his carb intake. So if he was going to have one cup brown rice or one serving brown rice, it became two servings brown rice. And that's for the last two meals. Now, when we were preparing for the bodybuilding shows, the nutrition or the diet was based on what Dorian Yates was doing. And it's so similar to what you're doing. So this is crazy. What's crazier also is Dorian Yates now has a house in Edison. I'm going to knock on his door and show him what's up. But he supposedly did this, and this is why Dorian would get so ripped. He was eating basically it was turkey, baked potatoes, brown rice, and he would do a carb load or just carb depletion or carb cycling. And what we would do is 3 days without carbs, and also every meal had like broccoli and or cauliflower. So it was 3 days without carbs, 2 days with carbs, and I was eating 8 times a day. I wish I saved my food log because I recorded everything I ate for 6 months. But I did 6 weeks of this carb rotation that you did. And, man, dude, I started dropping weight and body fat. Like, I was 196, and I went down to 174. And at 196, I was pretty I was pretty ripped up. When they got to 174, my lower back was striated, and it was 8 ounces of turkey followed by like an 8 ounce baked potato. And I was eating basically, if I started a meal at 10 a.m., even if I finished eating at 10:30, my next meal was at 12. I was so goddamn hungry. And then on the days that we had carbs, I would have the oatmeal for breakfast, but after that it was just baked potatoes. So that carb cycling and the elimination, of course, of dairy, milk, bread is huge. So that shit's big. And also, you're right, the calories we consume, sometimes we're like, oh, I'm a strength athlete, I'm a power athlete, I should be eating a lot. So even Jim Wendler was doing this. He's like, man, dude, he's like, we just eat too much, and we got to slow down and stop eating so much, and your body starts to get used to it. You know, you start realizing that you don't need to eat that much, and you can be lean and you can be strong as hell. So that's pretty cool, man, the stuff that you're talking about, and that your uncle was doing that. And what's crazy is, dude, that's how Dorian Yates was doing it. And although the guy was on all kinds of drugs, when I was bodybuilding, I was natural. And the guy that I was training with, he was not natural, and his metabolism was so fast, he only did that for the last 2 weeks. And instead of turkey, he actually had ground beef. So he would get some of the fats in there with him. But
yeah, what I started doing after the 2 weeks that I quote-unquote detoxed was started doing beef. We started doing beef instead of just the turkey, which was definitely a positive. The strength went up big time when that happened too.
Very cool. And what about veggies? Were you like having a salad a day, vegetables? Were you doing that? Or
no. It was never really – not during the detox. The detox was purely – lean protein, that was it. When I started adding the variety back into the diet, it was, I'm lying, there was a salad in the mid part of the day, and then he was like, you can have any vegetables that you want. And knowing my metabolic type and the type of vegetables that I do best on, I had a lot of cauliflower. That was basically it. Cauliflower and spinach were my two vegetables of choice at that time.
Nice. So,
much of that what, you want.
Yeah, that's unlimited. Let's go back to training. We're probably going to close out the call soon. We've been going for about 45 minutes. A lot of people were, you know, these are the questions that people were sending in to me, you know, how the programs would be designed. What about anything, and for anybody who's come on the call late, we're talking about hybridbodybuilding.com. Elliot, what do you want to cover one thing before we close out, or talk about any training methods? Or any of the experiences that your athletes have been having, anything that you want to talk about?
I mean, we could hit up, you said there was another question, so we could hit those up and then wrap it.
Questions, the other questions that people were asking about were looking at, they were wondering, like, what might be like a sample workout? So you spoke about, you started doing some of the density training, and you said it was it a 20-minute round you guys would do, or 15?
Yeah, two 20-minute rounds.
20-minute round. Let's like hit that up a little bit more. Let's say you do 20 minutes of benching and chins. Are you doing something after that? How would a workout look after that?
Well, let me say, first of all, when you were describing the workouts that you did with the new kid at your gym with the dumbbells and then climbing the ropes, I can definitely sense it in you as you're describing that workout and what I know you do. As a strength and conditioning coach and someone who utilizes the variety and the hybrid type training that you and I do, it almost becomes an art. I don't know if you know what I mean. It's like it's hard to even describe what's going on in our minds when we design these exercise programs. And I could see when you're putting it together that you can see the balance of what you're doing. And it's like I have an intern at my gym right now. I try to explain to him how I design the programs and the balance that's created when I add this program, this exercise, that exercise, and why I manipulate this variable that way and this the other one. But I really, it's tough to put it in actual terms that someone could duplicate. Do you ever feel that way?
I have a real keen sense of basically what needs to be done, volume as far as, and when I say volume, I talk about poundage lifted, the intensity, how many sets, how many reps. I have a real keen eye and like a just a real good feel. And I know that if I throw on 10 pounds instead of 20 pounds, that's going to keep their technique. 20 pounds might throw it off. But, yeah, I definitely do hear you. And the workouts might look sometimes on paper, they may actually look like crazy basic, but those are some of the most deadly, like, busted-up workouts that put the fear of God into some of these kids. But maybe just give them, like, an example of how you would go through your own workout. Are you pre-planning it, or are you going by feel? And what might follow up something like the benching and the chin-ups? What would you do after that?
Well, here's one where I was destroying myself preparing for strongman. And when I say destroying myself, it was like, it was all about, let me step back for a moment. The way you design these programs are based on the strength qualities or the athletic qualities that you need to enhance. Not everyone's going to respond, and not everyone has the same exact goals. The goal for the design that I'm going to describe for me was increase my strength for strongmen, so that would be functional. And in one of the videos, like the video I put out today, I talk about there being powerlifting or strength building, bodybuilding, there's conditioning, and then there's functional, and I can consider strongman functional training. So which one of those four are you more interested in emphasizing? And what I'm going to describe now is me increasing my functional strength, and I could even slash that with max effort strength or powerlifting strength. So one of the workouts that I was doing was a log clean and press. And I can describe this to you guys and to you, Zach, because I think most of the people on this call are more familiar with odd object training and strongman training than would be like, if I was talking to the masses or to most people. So we'd be like a log clean and press, and I'd kill that real heavy. I'd do like either triples or I'd do fives or I'd even build up to a single. So I might even spend like half an hour, 40 minutes. I mean, these are breaking rules. I train for a long time sometimes. So I might do that for like half an hour, 40 minutes, just doing triples with like 275 on the log clean and press. Then as soon as that's done, it's keg carries out back where my gym is. I've got a long grassy area.
Right.
We'll take like the 200 pound keg and we'll just pick it up, walk with it. We'll just carry it for I think it's probably about 20 yards down, 20 yards back, drop it, next guy goes. I'm usually training with Byron, who's my intern right now. So he'd pick it up, down and back. Then I pick it up, down and back. He picks it up, down and back. And by that time, we do that five times, and it's like you're sucking so much wind, and you're like your hamstrings are on fire, your upper back's on fire, your hands are burning because you're holding that keg the whole time. I mean, you're just completely done. We finish after that. If I want to add anything else after that, because you know my style of training for strongman is all about volume on one or two exercises. If I was to add anything else to that, it would be something like knees to bows, you know, where you hold onto a chin-up bar and you bring your knees up to your elbows. We'll do like maybe three sets of 15 on that, like in a gymnastic move. And then if it was that, or I would possibly do some like power wheel walking or power wheel work.
Those are friggin' sick and brutal. A lot of the guys say like just the walking on their hands. You know, when you talk about, like, the guy shaking, when I have athletes walk on their hands, the partner wheelbarrow, I make them squeeze their legs around my, like, hip waist area so it stimulates the power wheel, because if they relax, you'll see their butt and hips shaking side to side.
Yeah,
There's no ab work, but you'll feel the guys, you'll see their legs shaking, their abs just trembling, and that's all right. That's just waking up new muscles and body into a new area of growth, but that's some serious kick-ass stuff. I don't want to take away, you know, I want to honor everybody's time. I don't want to take away time also from you. I know it's late. It's about 10 o'clock our time. So, guys, once again, want you to check out hybridbodybuilding.com. It is, you know, Elliot and Mike are delivering some badass info. I'm loving it. It's like it's in my blood. Elliot, do you want to close out with any comments, brother? Anything that you want to say?
Yeah, you know, again, because I feel safe with you guys that are on the call, I feel safe with you, Zach, because, you know, we're of the same tribe. We're kind of speaking the same language, and we all understand each other here. So this is kind of like a different type of phone call than you'll probably see me get on later on this week. I'm going to do a live Ustream, but this is that's going to be going out to thousands of people that really don't know us, and they don't really share the same heart as us. And it's very difficult for Mike and I to step outside of our comfort zones to put this information out there, and we're getting a lot of shit slung at us because of it, you know. So for me to say what I'm going to say, I don't even remember what I was going to say, but for me to sort of to lay my heart out there for you guys and ask you for your well wishes and for the best with regard to getting other people to understand the intensities that we enjoy and how much we really enjoy training. We love training. It's the majority of the people out there and those who are trying to bring this to don't like hard work. They don't like training. They like results, and they think they should get things quickly. They think they should get things easily. They feel entitled. They feel like it's a different type of shark out there. And I want to say I'm grateful for you guys. I'm grateful to be a part of the fold. And with that being said, if the fact that hard work is what gets us done is the bottom line, you know. I'm trying my best not to water down what we're bringing to the community at large. I'm trying my best to stay true to the roots and true to everything that we discussed here in the phone call today and true to the fact that I truly believe that you don't get anything without busting your ass and working hard and enjoying hard work. You've got to cultivate a taste for hard work. You've got to, like, when you see hard work, you should drool and just recognize that, man, this is an opportunity. And whenever there's challenge, there's growth. Most people, it's hard for them to accept that. So as we try to bring this idea forth, just be there with us I'm just happy to have you guys supporting and along for the ride.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't want to sound like we're preaching, but there are countless numbers of us that, because back in the day, there were hardcore gyms, and I know this for a fact because there were hardcore gyms in my area that were either, like, fakely burnt down, without a joke. There's no way these places could have burnt down if they only had a few light bulbs in them. And hardcore gyms were transferred over because they thought that fitness was going in. And what happened is all these hardcore lifters, whether they were men or women, kind of reverted and disappeared to their garages and basements. And it fucking pisses me off because,
yeah,
you know, just gyms are just, they're just, it's just crap. There's no intensity. It's dead air. And I want us, those of us listening and those of us that are going to listen to this call down the road, to understand that we are hybrid bodybuilders and that we are basically like an underworld tribe. And I think we got to bond and bind together because the more people that we could teach and learn about this stuff, there's more possibilities of people opening gyms that train like this and to bring guys like us together. I mean, you know, here I am in Jersey, Elliot's in Florida, and all you guys listening are from around the country, and I had people emailing me from Australia and other countries in different time zones saying, can you record it? So understand that we are absolutely from that same tribe, and we need to spread the word, and it's going to piss a lot of people off, but we're going to friggin', you know, we're going to stand ground. It's going to piss people off that we're telling them, look, man, be ready to go to war. Be ready to go to battle when you're going to train. And hybrid bodybuilding.
Hard to tell that.
Yeah.
Hard to get that idea across to most people.
Yeah, because it offends people.
Yeah,
and
very offensive to them.
The bottom line is this. If you want to get results, you got to bust your butt. You could get results, you know, half-assing it, but we all know that you got to bust your butt. So anybody out there listening to this call, because it is being recorded down the road, check out hybridbodybuilding.com. And this is the way. If you follow this protocol and you follow the steps with Elliot and Mike, this is really going to rock. This is going to be the way that you're going to transform your mind and body. So, Elliot, once again, thank you, brother. And everybody listening, To the ladies and gentlemen on the line, Elliot and I are grateful you guys take time away to listen to us, read our blogs, watch our videos. We're grateful. We hope you enjoyed this. If you've got questions afterwards for myself or Elliot or Mike, go to hybridbodybuilding.com. Post them in the comments section. I'm going to try to get in there and help them answer some questions. And if we don't get through to you, feel free to send me a personal email or Facebook or Twitter message. We'll get to you. Elliot, you're my homeboy. Let me just stop the recording and make sure this goes through okay. So hang tight, everybody. Once again, Zach Evanesh and Elliot Holes from hybridbodybuilding.com. Peace out, brothers and sisters.